This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Hello, everyone. This is Edward Jones. My first time hosting a radio show, so it will go perfectly. We're here to talk about transformation, the birth of a new human being. Hopefully, there'll be some people having some questions about it. We'll see. The context of what I'm talking about is actually the first ever evolution of the human brain, the movement from kill all of the killers until killing completes itself or have peace within ourselves. The second one is the one that we need to take a look at. We have been going from war to war to war for far too long now, and it's time to alter that. And the manner in which we can do that is to begin speaking the truth with ourself so as to create internal peace, and from there we can create collective peace. The manner in which we became violent as we are now was in the same way. Individually, we became violent, and then the collective consciousness took over, and now it is running us. The manner in which to escape that, each of us to create for ourselves internal peace. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the room.
Hi, this is Mike Kim. I'm the producer of The People Speak. Okay, can you guys, we're live, and Edward is fixing his sound, and I just wanted to help Edward hear out on his first maiden voyage on the USS The People Speak. Edward Jones is a philosopher I ran into on a Pal Talk chat program, paltalk.com, and he was a guest.
All right, can you hear me now?
Edward, I'm just explaining to the audience that you're somebody of Pal Talk philosopher, Pal Talk chat program philosopher, I like to call you, that I ran into on Pal Talk, and we had you on as a guest on The People Speak twice. And I thought you were so great, I thought maybe you'd like to host, and here you are. So Edward, for the people who've never heard of you, can you tell us about yourself? And I guess you were already doing that at the beginning of the show. Tell us a bit about yourself and your philosophy.
Well, hopefully things are working now. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, everything's fine.
All right, we're moving right along. It's actually a result of a 38 year ago death of myself, having, strange as it may sound, having dropped dead at age 36.
Wait a minute, Edward, you literally died, taken to emergency, declared dead?
No.
Okay, you're speaking metaphorically.
Well, if you would, perhaps you might consider that it was not metaphorically. It was an actual experience of death all by myself. No amount of proof, nobody around to say yay or nay except myself. The only proof, if you will, that I have is my own personal self-transformation. It awakened me. It brought forth not only a new consciousness within myself, but a new consciousness for planet Earth. It was the evolution of our minds, if you will, since there's only one human. That one human's transformational experience to transform would be the transformation of our planet, correct?
I don't know. That's your message. I'm still a little bit puzzled about the the death experience. You were, can you go into a little bit more detail? Where were you doing? What were you doing? Where were you? What was the circumstances? How long did it last? Was it like a in coma you came out of and suddenly you realized you've been dead? Or, you know, what exactly was that like?
Let me encapsulate it, a whole long, long story in a brief summary here. After a life of 36 years of failing in every domain of life that I lived, that of a father, that of a son, that of a brother, that of a cousin, that of all of those familial things, relationship kinds of things, plus all, any and all business happenings, I had completely failed at my entire life and had gone around telling people that I had failed them and failed myself. Then the final, I just told you a 36-year story there, by the way. The last 6 months of it was when I did that. And then the final straw was my divorce when my then wife left for a young fellow in Cayman Islands. That was the, for 12 years wanting a divorce. At any rate, that was the final failure. The only thing I hadn't failed to that point at was being a husband. Although obviously she left, so I failed at being a husband. But there's a distinction between a failure and the completion of the failure, which of course was her having left. So now it brings it up to 9 o'clock in the morning after dropping her off at the airport. And I came back to my house and sent my son five doors down to her friend of his house because I could feel something coming on. Again, there's another long story about having experienced death before in my life, near death, never death completely, but near death. So at 9 o'clock, I laid down on a bed all by myself with nobody around, and I could have sworn that the sounds I was making could be heard all over the world. I was later told that was a primordial scream. At any rate, that lasted for some period of time, 4 hours. The whole experience lasted, starting with going into my core and pulling out anger, jealousy, pain, suffering, misery, pulling it out in a psychological way, in a metaphorical way, to use your word, I guess. And then I died, probably no longer than 15 seconds, no longer than some short period of time, kind of like if you're, I'll put it this way, since most people are familiar with computers, it's like shutting your computer off, shutting everything down, counting to 15 seconds, and then turning it back on. However, when I turned it back on, when I gave myself birth, it was a spark of like lightning. And when I gave birth to myself, I used to say born to myself, but they told me that's not a proper English phrase. There was only one thing there, and that was that I knew the secret to life.
Edward, I have to ask you a little bit more about this experience. This seemed to happen very instantaneously. Was there anything? Was there a smell associated, a blinding white light, a voice, you know, something? Or was it just a simple self-realization, self-awareness that something had happened?
Well, Mike, you seem to be wanting to make it something that it wasn't. There was no born-again Christian kind of thing, you know, like the people talk about seeing God and him telling me it wasn't my time, please go back, my son, and that sort of thing. There was a complete death and then an explosion. It actually, I can tell you what the Big Bang probably was like in the beginning, if there was a Big Bang in the beginning, because that's what happened, an internal explosion like lightning that exploded within me and gave me new life. This new life started with me having to teach myself how to walk again. Not that I couldn't walk, but I realized that I was walking by virtue of my mind. I was walking in such a way as to show how tough I was with my shoulders. I guess in today's language, they call it swagger, a certain swagger that people put on to make sure nobody messes with them because they're so big and tough. And I noticed that instantly. And from there, it was a noticing of my entire way of being had been as a trained and conditioned robot. everything I had done in my first 36 years was a trained and conditioned robot. It was all at the effect of language. I was, there really was no Edward Jones alive for that first 36 years. It's not until he died at age 36 that there was an actual Edward Jones then, like a tiny baby again. There was not the loss of all memory, but there was the loss of all attachments to my memory. In other words, the hatred, the jealousy, the anger, the all of those things that were controlling my life were suddenly gone, including the violence that are that all those things are. So therefore, in that space where all of those things were, was a blank space. And that blank space is a huge thing because it has no violence in it. And since that experience, I have been talking about the possibility for every human being on planet Earth to experience the transformation of themselves through the simple action or activity called speaking the truth in your life. That's the one constant that I had had in my first 36 years. It's the only one thing that I ever did that was correct in my first 36 years was speak the truth. And that is the real dynamic that causes the transformation of the self and therefore will bring forth the collective transformation. It'll take us away from our destructive manner in which we live our lives today. Does that any more clear, Mike?
Yeah. What I was getting at, trying to get, was there any kind of physical manifestation related with the near death or death experience? And you answered it. It seemed like you, especially when you said you felt like you had to learn how to walk or speak again, or, you know, something was, it was like you were reborn. You know, that's what I was trying to get at. And I was trying to correlate it because I don't think you're the only person that's had this experience. You see it in Far Eastern literature where they talk about Satori or a blinding experience, you know, a sudden realization, right?
Yeah, there's a Kundalini that it's talked about, a Kundalini. Yeah, and then in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, they tell me, I've never read it, but they tell me that there's a like experience to this. I guess the surprising part is that it happened that I went from 0 to 100, that I went from a complete and total robot to a what you might call, I really like these phrases, but a transformed or an enlightened person. That is the result of it, and that is the proof of the death. So I haven't heard of or nor spoken with people who've had this experience. I've heard people and spoken with people who have had close things, and I've spoken, there's some people like gurus who have come close to these things, but no one who has, that I know of, who has completely died, reset their entire life, and born themselves as a new baby. The other thing that was amazing for me during that time was the amount of information that I used to shake my head and say, what am I going to do with all this information? Because I had to learn, I had to experience life from an entirely different dimension. It's a new dimension. It's the dimension of a transformed being, a new consciousness, with the only distinction in this new consciousness being that where violence was is a void, a blank space. Is that, oh, did you?
Yes,
did you,
okay. Thank you, Edward. Maybe you'd like to speak about how you've gone about this, you know, how you've gone about trying to spread this information about self-transformation. When did
two things simultaneously. The most difficult thing a person can ever do is to speak the truth on a planet completely full of liars, thieves, and cheats. Even those people who do not think that they are liars are liars. If you don't think so, then look back at your reason, the way you were raised. they would say, if you don't have something nice to say, then don't say anything. Well, that's a lie by omission. And we are taught to not hurt people's feelings. We're taught the absolute craziest things. We're taught that there's a God that's going to send us to hell if we cuss. And we're taught all of these nonsensical things. And to speak the truth about all of those things is a rather difficult. To say it's difficult is not even it. It's actually impossible to do. It has to be created. The speaking of it has to be created, meaning that it never has any direction. It never has any particular thing that it has to do. It just always does. For 38 years, I have never done anything except transformational things, with the exception of having to make money, of course.
Well, that's something we've never really discussed about. How do you maintain your real life? You know, responsibilities, paying the bills. I assume you live in a house, not a cave. I assume you have electricity and running water.
My whole life, the last 38 years, I have all sorts of things, built decks, all kinds of things, including I still do transformational workshops, but I'm also a property preservation expert. You'd have to be a little careful with that word expert, but and I have, I'm 75 years of age. Well, I'm actually 38 and 75 both. So I have a little income from my, what do they call that? Social Security. And that's all. I don't have any money put away, but I have everything I need. So I make a little bit of money here and a little bit of money there, and that's it.
All right. I came to know you via a chat program called Pal Talk. And there are actually people in a chat room listening to you now as we talk. And was that your chief means of getting the word out? I suppose it's not the only way. Was that your first venture at trying to reach people?
No. After this experience that I had, the one question I had about it was, what in the heck just happened to me? There was no one that could answer that question. Everybody I began speaking with told me to go to church, but I had been a Sunday school teacher. I had read the Bible all the way through. I knew it didn't have anything to do with some nutcase belief. So I started doing, I probably spent $25,000. I owned 3 Kentucky Fried Chickens at the time, going to every leading edge workshop that I could find to see if there was somebody around that could explain to me what had happened, and was never able to find anybody that could really explain it, with the possible exception of after about 5 years when I read something about Krishnamurti, and he mentioned the word, 2 words. He said, mutation, the mutation of our minds, or the transformation of our mind was the only possibility that we have to actually pull ourselves from the brink of destruction where we are now. So I began doing transformational workshops in Lima, Ohio. I did them. I've done transformational workshops in the whole 38 years, off and on. People have come in from Australia, from Greece, all around the world. Not in huge numbers, just small numbers.
And you advertise this via the internet?
No, I don't really advertise it at all. It's
Well, how do people hear about it? And
I'm a big mouth. I'm a big mouth.
Well, but is it locally in your town?
Pal Talk, I did a number of workshops, streamed workshops into Pal Talk. I was on Pal Talk every day for 11 years.
So Pal Talk was a big medium for you to reach people.
It was finally a medium where I could reach out to who knows how many people. Over that 11 years, I know I spoke with thousands of people, but I got to speak probably with 10,000 people for one or two people to listen, because it's not something that people have in their memory.
Let me explain to the audience what Pal Talk is first, so that they, because you're going to be bringing up this word Pal Talk all the time. Pal Talk is a chat program. It's been running for, I believe, at least 20 years. And there are 4 million registered regular users. There are literally tens of millions of screen names. Everybody can create as many screen names as they want. But it's like a virtual online city with a number of different categories, subcategories, and endless amount of rooms. Anyone can make a room on there. And Edward made a room. And you want to tell us what the name of the room is, Edward?
Well, the current name of it is Creating a New Consciousness.
Yes, yeah, so it's in the metaphysical category, as I understand it. He created this room, or you know, it's the current name of the room, and he would get on there daily or quite frequently and speak, and people would just drop in and listen. So that was his initial contact. But Edward, you want to give out your website and the different books you've written and how people can contact you?
Well, it's selftransformation.org. And I'm also on, Pal Talk Creating New Consciousness. I have a self-transformation on Facebook and my own personal page on Facebook, too, under Edward Jones. I've written 5 books. Well, I just lied. I have 5 books out. I have 5 books in circulation. I actually spoke, the first 2 were written on Pal Talk. People recorded my conversations with other people, and then they were transcribed by a girl named Donna Belanzi, and then edited by Marilyn Metters, and then we published them ourselves. So there's 5 of them. I give them away more than sell them, but they are for sale on Amazon.com.
And the name of your website is once again
selftransformation.org.
And people can contact you there by email or written mail or phone?
Yeah. I'm not sure the phone number's on
prefer?
There. Well, it doesn't make any difference. The message I have is the only message that I have been speaking of, and it's important to speak of it no matter when, where, or how. I do it everywhere I go. Everywhere I do it in Walmarts, Kmarts, restaurants. I pass my books out as I go along.
You mean you... You don't just start talking about transformation anywhere you go. I mean, if the occasion arises, right? You mean?
No, I arise. People don't talk. People are lost in their own.
Hold on here, Edward.
Edward,
you mentioned a woman, Marilyn Metters.
Marilyn Metters, yes.
Metters. If she's there, if she'd like to say a few words, if she can give us an example of how you just spontaneously start talking, she can tell us a story. You're at Walmart. You and Marilyn go to Walmart to buy some apples.
Marilyn. Yeah, I don't know.
And you're walking.
Well, she can come into the room. Oh, there she is. She came back into the room. All right. Marilyn, Mike says you have a story about going into Walmart or something.
Yeah, Marilyn, as the companion and a co-editor of Edward Jones's books, you must know a great deal about Edward.
He says, after a lot of time with me, you must know a great deal about me. Do you have a story about it? You can be heard.
About how Edward just spontaneously starts talking about self-transformation in public places.
How do I just start talking about self-transformation in public places?
I was going to ask you, can they hear me?
Yeah, they can hear you. Can you guys hear her?
Oh, my computer went dead. My phone went dead.
Now, literally, come close to your mic.
Okay.
When you were talking about your experience with dying and transformation, is it necessary for us to all experience what you did? It seems like you have told me that just speaking the truth would bring forth a transformation without us going on a bed and screaming our guts out, laying there for 4 hours and pulling out all that stuff because we got a divorce.
Yeah.
We have to go through all of that.
You know what, Edward?
Well, the divorce is important.
You are the host.
Yeah,
I want you to take us in the break, and when we come back, we'll discuss this, okay?
All right, we're going into break, and Marilyn has asked an important question here, and it's we'll answer that question when we come back because we're going on break, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, I'm Richard Belzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Well, thank you, Doug. You should be handling this show from everything you just told me. I'd sure like to talk with you about that. Doug was telling me about a Kundalini experience. A Kundalini experience is a much like what I am speaking of. The distinction being that sort of experience has the tendency to dissipate. It comes, it flashes, and it goes. Transformation is the experience of insight, which is a Kundalini. Constant, never-ending insight. In other words, as strange as this might sound, it means that you know everything because you don't know anything. It means to say you live in the unknown, where everything is known. Everything is known is really a kind of a weak word where it should be observed or seen. That what you just told me, that the people weren't party to it, but you should be on the show. You should have had this show instead of me, big boy.
Ed, I agree with you. Ed, I agree with you. In everything you say, it's when you have a Kundalini awakening, it gives you almost all, you almost know physics, metaphysics, energy, how it participates, sound, everything in many, many ways. And a lot of those understandings live with you.
Wait a minute,
the knowing
this new
that
voice.
You say.
Hold on a second.
The understandings, everything
now,
you say,
speaking?
I agree with.
This is Doug. Doug's talking.
Yes. Doug, identify yourself.
he jumped in there. He's all excited. He jumped in.
Well, you know, Ed, so few people have a breakthrough in awareness that's so large it fundamentally changes everything. I mean, people
exactly.
can get that low. I mean, I've seen low points in your life where you're screaming out to God for help and you change your life. That's different. This is like putting you into an energy world and opening you up to everything. And then deal with all that knowledge. I mean, it's instant knowledge. It's instant awareness. It's the ability to see thousands of objects in the same second, not just one.
Yep.
It's the ability to relive all of your life instantly, not over a timeline. I don't know how to explain that. That's impossible to explain. To explain those sorts of understandings or those experiences to people, it's hard. I don't know even if it's possible. But, you know, in an awareness, one moment you can be totally aware, like, believe it or not, but every sound you emote is due to an emotion. Every emotion creates, a certain expression. And so based on that knowledge, that simple knowledge, you then could know all the prefixes, all the suffixes of all languages anywhere. I know that seems crazy, but it happens on an awakening. You can't repeat it. A lot of things that happened to me, I can never repeat again. I couldn't. I want to. I wish I could. But at least it opens up my mind to the possibility of the human mind and the power within it. And that I live with even now. So now I can see people even brighter and greater than I ever could. And my interconnectivity to it all. And it's infinite. So I understand everything you're saying. I think a Kundalini in yours... You're saying it's a forever thing. Well, knowledge is a forever thing. Once you've eaten of the apple, it kind of stays with you, right? But the experiences I had were very, over just a six-month period of time, where they were outlandish. You know, they were just impossible. You wouldn't express that to other people because they'd think you're an idiot. In fact, you wouldn't be around other people because you'd be moving so fast in your mind, nothing else could participate at that level. It wouldn't matter.
Well, I've been... speaking those things for 38 years, Doug, and I, because I speak them and have myself, I get beat up so much or get beaten, laughed at, cajoled, kicked around. It has actually, those things have actually given me instructions, or I'm beginning to discover the manner in which to speak. Because what happened with you, Doug, is that you left the domain of knowledge. You left it behind, and you quantum moved in a quantum. That's the movement of 1,000 or 1,000,000 miles in less than the blink of an eye, into the domain of creation, intelligence. Right. And that is where the problem that so far that I've seen from what you're speaking is that you're having a problem staying there, because thought comes back in and invites you into that old world of God and belief and religion, and you call yourself a man and a woman, all that nonsense that these people live with.
I don't even live with it, though. I don't hear it anymore. I don't hear any of that anymore.
Well, it's there.
It's there. It exists around me. But what happened after that left, I really, you know, there's a point where you can't shut off your life. You can't. It'll change everything within your life. Because everything you think about a little differently, a little bit more aware, you know, instead of walking into a room speaking what's on my mind, I'm already aware of everybody in the room and how they feel. And, you know, somebody, you just have that sort of an energy. So it's a level of awareness. You take it into every day of your life. So those things do live on. But can I see 1,000 pictures with the same intensity, or do I know language, or can I write symphonies, or all these different things? No. Have I experienced that understanding? Yes, so it's impossible to believe. So I know it's possible. But I don't know if any human being could show me right now they could, you know, relive those sorts of experiences that fell upon me over that period of time. So I don't know. I don't know. I still think in many ways I do live with it. I wish I could open those doors now. I wish they could always stay with me.
If I could interject here for a minute, we have a virtual radio room on Pal Talk, and some of the listeners listening to the show, one of them is Fred in Australia. He has a question for Edward. Edward, what is the measure of how your message is received, if it can be measured?
The measurement is somewhat what Doug is expounding there. His experience came to him, however, it wasn't necessarily through, obviously it wasn't through connection with me, but it doesn't have to be that at all. At some point, were I able to talk with Doug at some length, and we may, we'll find out where the energy for him, that thing that happened with him came from.
2 years but of meditation.
I can tell you that he spoke the truth in some form. He just said in the form of meditation. It wasn't necessarily the meditation. That's where the trickery is. Meditation is a little bit like prayer. It's not the prayer nor the meditation. It's the words within the prayer and the meditation, because it has to do with the energy that's created when a person speaks the truth. The secret to life is speaking the truth, which is what Doug did at some point. But just real quickly to answer Fred's question is, when you hear people speak, you can hear the openness that they are just by virtue of their voice. It's very easy to go to the place where they are and listen with them. That's the key, if you will, to hearing open-minded people. However, on planet Earth, there are almost no open-minded people. There are only people who think they're open-minded. And I appreciate the question, Fred. Fred came up from Australia and went through one of my workshops as well. So,
you know, it's interesting you said that about meditation. You're right. My meditations were different. I'd never even read a real book about how people meditated. I just had a terrible life for 20 years, and I started to relax. But it wasn't the relaxation. It was the movement of energy around me I participated with, the sense of breathing in everything and breathing out love, and then taking it on an emotion. So every time I breathed it in, everything, and I breathed it out, I felt better. And I felt better and better and better. And I did that on an escalation for a couple of hours. And I do that a few times a day. I did it for a couple of years. I didn't know what to expect. Yeah, when I had a Kundalini, I was stepping out of my shower. I was towel drying. The towel was around my back. It wasn't during, afterwards, I didn't meditate. I stopped. That 6 months of strangeness occurred without meditation. But it required emoting to the feeling that I was connecting, I was loving, and I was forgiving, but emoting to it. So my whole body got into the act. That's how I meditated. And then I also meditated by visualizing with my eyes open, never closing my eyes during meditation. But my eyes were always open, and I would visualize energy around me, even if it was a sliver of light. And I did it in a dark room with my back against the wall. And I did it for a couple of years. I just needed to think about my past, forgive it, get relaxed, and start to meditate. So I say these things only because it's important that meditation not be looked on like it's not a key. In fact, after it all occurred to me, I believe meditation is a key. So I just put that out there.
Well, if I may, Doug, not in a manner of to argue with you, but if I may, I point out that if it isn't something you can do as you're walking along, if it isn't something you can do while you're washing the dishes or drying your back, if you'll notice that your Kundalini that you talk about, the insight, did not happen during any of your meditations, because meditation is really works against it, with the exception of what you say in your meditation. In other words, I can show you a manner in which you can do that, bring that whole thing back to yourself, never having to leave it you again, while you're living your life, while you're on the radio, while you're talking to your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your children or whoever it is. Because if you can't do it, if it cannot be there in every step that you take in life, then it's not real. If you have to go into a special place and meditate and turn on lights and turn off lights and love and forgive, then all of that stuff may have had some kind of a movement for you toward it, but it was when you spoke the truth. For instance, when you started your explanation, you said you had a terrible 20 years of life. That's the beginning of speaking the truth. And my guess is during your meditative states, when you were looking back at your life, you took responsibility for your mistakes. You told the truth about your mistakes. You didn't blame other people.
You're so right.
That's the thing that gave you that experience. The problem with that is your experience was an insight that ended, and it only left you with memory. Is that correct? With the memory of it, I mean.
No. Those were extraordinary things that was opening up my mind. I live with the knowledge of all the connectivity, love, forgiveness, the principles, all of that. In fact, my two greatest words are honesty and kindness. Those are my two favorite words. There are no more two favorite words, except maybe creation, creativity, and progress. I always think that way because I always want tomorrow to, be a little bit brighter for somebody. Even if it's a plant where a rose is blooming. But it's not raising money or building, projects for people to make millions. All those things left, they are meaningless. All the things that you understand the value of, you understand energy, you understand participation with other people, all the power within that. So yeah, that lives with me forever. It does. It walks within every moment of my day. In fact, it fundamentally changes you. Those experiences, those unique experiences, like if I dropped 1,000 quarters right now, could you really count them all within a blink of an eye? No. Can you do it? No. But in a Kundalini, afterwards, for 6 months, I wasn't meditating, things would occur, even though I wasn't in meditation, and it would open my brain instantly, and I can't explain it. I can't explain it. I'm telling you, it's the most bizarre thing. If you want to know, imagine participating with energy moving around you, made up of colored dots that look like a holographic image coming from a Star Trek. I mean, that's hard to imagine. But what if you could for a day? That sort of thing. I can't duplicate it. Could you? Is there energy being? Is there energy on the other side? I don't know, but I don't know anybody who can duplicate anything I've done that occurred to me during that 6 months.
Here's the real distinction here. The transformation, the birth of a new consciousness, has to do with the possibility of bringing forth human beings who no longer fight, who no longer kill, who no longer rape women, who no longer elect sexual predators for president, who no longer go to war, from war to war to war. That is the true experience of transformation. The stuff you're talking about, while it might be a bit difficult for you to understand, and it might you have a lot of fun with it, as far as transforming another person's life, as far as ending world war, as far as bringing forth a new consciousness, it has no value whatsoever other than entertainment, correct?
You said you had a kundalini. Earlier in the program, right before I even came on, you said that you had a kundalini, a rebirth. I thought, wow, there are similarities, but maybe there isn't, because in my energy sphere, I can imagine 1,000 points of light, not one. I can imagine being around a table with infinity in all directions, points of view in all directions, not one. In fact, I believe that if you were born with bliss on tap, sucking it, going, and you knew only that. You wouldn't know the value of that. I'd actually have to take you off that bliss on tap for you to know the value of it. And being that there's dark and light in all aspects to infinity, when you grow in awareness, you become a little bit more aware of that darkness. And by the way, it will grow because it'll meet your awareness on the light side, just like a pendulum that goes back and forth, explosions and vacuums, pushing and pulling. Everything's just magnetics, it's push and pull. And in that respect, you don't define yourself by your political point of view. You don't define yourself about your cultural point of view. That's all meaningless in a kundalini. So that's what surprises me. So if you haven't had a kundalini, then I yearn. My experiences are indeed different.
The distinction here is kundalini, or born, reborn, or born-again Christian, or whatever those things are, not to say that they aren't some sort of an experience that might be fun to have, but they're not fundamentally the transformation of our being. They are, let's say, imitation transformation. They are things that are real, but they cause sparks to go off and little fireworks and all the stuff that you're describing, but they don't have any direct relationship with the creation of a human being who doesn't kill, a human being who doesn't go to war, a human being who doesn't rape women. It doesn't have anything to do with the absolute reversal of life on planet Earth. And we are in a position right now where that's what's needed, because we are certainly looking at the strong possibility of our last days on planet Earth, that with all of the things that are transpiring now. I'm not suggesting that your experience is not valid. I'm just saying that it's what I'm talking about is not a kundalini experience. It's a transformation. It's a transformational experience. But there have been people talking about a kundalini experience. The distinction there is a kundalini experience is an experience brought about on purpose, not one created by energy. Not to say that it doesn't have any validity. Do you see?
I'd rather not retort, only because I think in terms of energy, everything is energy. It's just the spin. Imagine a string, and you're floating it around your head, and at the end of the string, there's a ball. And the faster you spin it, the more things fling off. But it's giving a spin. And when you move faster, you're like you're spinning more off, and it's hitting other structures and creating that electric flow. Well, the slower you are, you're like rock, you're condensing. You know, so in my way, everything is pushing or pulling based on, you know, that understanding. And even in the mind, we're pushing and pulling. And if we're pushing and pulling, we're creating. We're actually creating. Like if you can imagine a magnet with two forces and you put them side by side, or they come together, and then, or you put them on opposite sides, you create an angle out of them. One's just push, one's pull. One's I like, one's I hate. So it's creating form. Through the angle of those two understandings, and all forces kind of work this way based on that spin. So yes, everything in my opinion is energy. What occurred to me was an energy. I think you'd almost have to vibrate on some level, because when you bring emotion into your body, it's vibrating. Cells are moving differently. They are. When you're releasing hormones, things are starting to move a little differently. And because of that, that different vibration, even sound can do this. I mean, if you imagine a world where you're walking through a cave, and on the cave, everything's a picture. And because of the way the cave's shaped, everything is sound. And you have four or five creative instances in once, which just propels you a little bit higher because of that sound, vibration, awareness, opening. Maybe these things lead to levels of awareness. I don't know. That never happened to me, but I can imagine these sorts of things because they're all energy.
All right. Well, again, all those things are vibrating and shooting around, but they're not doing anything for the human plight. They're not doing anything for the transformation of planet Earth, and that's my.
Doesn't energy move out? If I were to take a picture of you, and due to your certain emotional state, I could imagine the energy moving from your body, you know, a little farther, a little brighter, more intense, slowing down. Maybe because there are a lot of people that reach levels of awareness. Now, this I don't know. I can only base this based on my reading. But, you know, I can only base quantum entanglement, that theory, based on my reading. But they say that some people, due to their energy, you know, they only need be, and everything else is affected due to their being because of the energy that they emit. Now, that may not be true. That's a little far-fetched. I can actually imagine something like that. But maybe there is some validity that we all have that sort of energy and value intrinsic within us. In fact, I imagine every human being being a light beam straight up to the heaven, coming down, forming the human being. That's how I see everybody. Like, you're all from the center point of us all, God, the universe, all of it. You're a flame created from that beautiful brilliance. You're like a ray of light, a photon going out from the sun in a brilliant direction, somewhere no other photon's going, but made up of the sun.
Okay.
I think, Edward.
Yeah.
Edward, I think at this point you would call Doug a nutcase, or what is it you always call people?
Yeah,
Doug,
I'm afraid he'd call me Doug.
Edward always calls people nutheads. Yeah, nutheads.
Yeah. If he was in the Pal Talk room, I might suggest that he's a nutcase.
No, nuthead. Don't you say nuthead?
Nuthead.
That's Edward's, I don't know, endearing term for people. He thinks that the entire human race are nutheads.
What, Doug? Right, Lori from Canada, on line one.
You got a call, Edward. Take it.
Go ahead, Lori.
Hi, Edward. I'm listening to the program here, and what I'm hearing is that you're speaking of something very different from this other person that was speaking. What I'm hearing is the difference between hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Was I not heard before?
No, everything was clear.
Okay. That what you're speaking of, Edward, is that there is a death that can happen to a human person, and that this results in a very permanent, you can't undead yourself. You can be born new, but you do not go back to that which is old. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, it's not the light switching and the things moving all around and imagining and looking at people and seeing their aura or any of that. It's actually real. There's two different conversations taking place. Not to say Doug's is wrong. However, it's an entirely different an entirely different conversation. The one that has the power to transform is real. It's actually reproducible if you don't follow any plan.
If you look at a flower, do you transform? When you see a particular picture, can that transform you? When
no.
you hear something,
no.
can that transform you or see something?
No.
Well? So that no art, no flower
no.
can transform
no.
you. Interesting, because
no.
I always think everything is transforming your genetics at every second. Your A's, your D's, your G's, your C's, they're changing. They're changing
the
as soon as you see, when you're moving in one day, you're thinking a certain way. There might be changes to your genetic code and remembrance of those. So it's almost like everything is within that cellular structure. You know, knowledge, even at the, it's just, it's amazing. So maybe it's retaining your whole life, or at least the emotions and everything that changes within you. And that's relative. So your DNA might be changing. You know, if I put you in a different world, if you're a fly with one genetic code and I put you in the, you know, you're used to the water and I put you in the desert, by God, goodness, when I check your DNA at the end of your life cycle, it's changed. Interesting. So that change, so it does, it is transformative. Those things on the outside of you are transformative. And those transformations to you affect everything you are and every person you come in contact with and everything you think and how you
act. According to you. But it doesn't. That's
most
BS.
Most of us work based on that, words and works of others on so many levels.
Excuse me.
We're affected by that, aren't we?
We're running out of time, guys. Guys, hold on here a second. You know what? This is turned into something more than I thought. The way I see it, either Doug and Edward are going to like host the show together, and it'll be like they'll play off each other and argue throughout the show. That seems to encourage comments from the audience. I mean, the audience would really like to get in on this now that you've got these two different points of view. The other is that we let Marilyn, who is Edward's companion. Edward, by the way, Marilyn says you won't let her speak if she co-hosts with you. She says Edward will just put his hand over my mouth and tell me not to speak. You know, Edward, will you let Marilyn speak? Marilyn, can you speak for us? Tell Marilyn to speak to us. Tell her to say hi.
Where is she? I buried her in the backyard because she tried to say something when I was talking. That's not allowed. Stay out there, Marilyn.
Well, Edward, I think we've got 1 minute. I think we've only got 1 minute left, right, Doug?
I wish I knew, but we have even more callers. I don't know where to put them on or put them off.
Yeah, put them on. Oh, my God.
Okay, one moment. We're going to bring Peter on.
Doug, you see what you've done? Now you've got a whole bunch of people calling.
Right. We have Peter on line.
Hey,
two.
How you doing, Edward?
Doing perfectly, Peter. Go ahead.
Well, I've been listening to the exchange for a while, and I've heard it 1,000 times. So just to make a long story short, the way I heard Doug, he was soaring with an eagle, with the eagles, and now he's back down with chickens, remembering that he had wings, and telling everybody that they're made out of light and everything is energy and everything is pretty. But he still's got to forgive a lukewarm latte and an angry waitress, and got to find love in his heart to do that. There is a difference in those kind of experiences. The difference is that they come and they go, and they leave a memory, and all you're left with is the memory and no way to get back. There is no way in hell or in heaven or on this earth, for that matter, for that to have any effect on us as the human race or as the one human mind, if that is what we are. It's more akin to looking at fireworks on the 4th of July, and then you go home and go to sleep because you gotta get up to work next day. And
you got to wait for another year.
Certainly, it's a good thing to have. Oh, absolutely. It shows you the possibilities, and it shows you, it buds the imagination. But it does no real work. The violence still stays there. You know, the reaction still stays there. Perhaps it's somewhat muted. Perhaps you don't go out and kick nobody's butt, or don't kill nobody, or don't curse them out in public. But the contraction, the energetic movement is still there. And as beautiful as those things are, they are absolutely useless. And that's just my humble opinion. or maybe not so humble opinion.
I think your opinion is valid. I think your opinion is valid, good sir, and I take it to heart. And, you know, yes, action, doing, moving, creating, it's important. You can't just sit on your presence.
If we're going to wrap up, please let Edward do the closing.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
We've got this scripted out.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Peter, that was correct. The distinction is Doug is speaking of an ethereal experience that comes and goes. It's not real, except that it's real when he has the experience. I've spoken with many, many people who have those same kinds of things, and it's not a function of knocking them down or saying that it's not real, because it's real, but it's ethereal. It cannot be, as Peter so well spoke, it can't be brought back. What I'm speaking of is a permanent transformation, not a change. I'm speaking of the ending of violence on planet Earth.
You believe in the 100th monkey theory?
There aren't 100 monkeys.
Go ahead.
I don't know what the hell the 100. I think the 100 monkey theory is you give one monkey something and the others will do it. No, here's the distinction. I don't mess with it unless I have experienced it myself. A perfect evening to each and every person listening. Thank you.